Hey everyone, it's Fahan, and you're listening to the Nisa Invest Tea Talk podcast. I hope everybody's feeling good, ready to start your Friday. Alhamdulillah, it's Jummah today, and we're here to recreate in podcast form what happened last year at my local mosque sister circle, where a few of us got together and I was able to run a session on all things halal personal finance. Whether it had to do with budgeting, halal investing, pensions, we covered all of it. And at the end of the session, I asked my sisters to leave me with what further questions they had so that I could cover it with you in podcast form. So thanks so much for joining me. And let's get started. So welcome back to another episode of the Nisa Invest Tea Talk podcast. In today's episode, the question that was asked is, how do you start investing when all you've done so far is save? So this is the reason why I've always said that investing or getting to yourself to a position where you're investing for the long term is such a great financial goal to have. Because in doing so, you're kind of forced to take care of your broader financial plan in the first place. So for example, even when you go and online and you're ready to open a stocks and shares ISA, you get hit with these disclaimers and questions that are rightfully asked to you, which is, do you have enough saved for emergencies? Are you debt free? Are the goals that you're working towards in making this investment something that you're thinking about with a time horizon of 5+ years? I would say then, because when we start investing, the best place to start is with a stocks and shares ISA, we should really think about stocks and shares ISAs as a tax question. Why? Because we choose stocks and shares ISAs because they are a tax efficient way to make sure that the gains that we get from these investments remain tax-free when sold. Now, the big point here is that when it comes to tax-efficient savings, one big allowance that we all have is through our pension. Now, and then that question is, therefore, am I making the most of your pension? So when I thought about answering this question, which is, how do you start to invest when all you've done is save, is how do we make sure that investing is something that we're able to do consistently and for the long run in such a way that it is part of our broader financial plan? And a good way to summarize this is by thinking about what your emergency savings, because the thing that keeps you invested in for the long run is actually, do you have the margin to withstand any downturns in the market where you won't panic or feel like you need to take the money out? Or if you're hit with a life emergency, you don't need to stop the investing or worse, take the money out completely. Second, is it part of your payday routine, let's say? Are you making the most of what's coming out of your payslip? And when I think about investing, and that is just one part of what we do with our money. We think about earning it, we think about spending it, we think about saving it, we think about investing it, and we also think about giving it. So feeling that your investments are equally as important as the money that we give to sadaqah, or the money that we spend, or the money that we are saving properly for big purchases, and also our earning potential too. When we start to give equal footing to all of these other elements, we start to actually think about things in terms of our plan and what we're working towards, rather than, oh, I must invest because investing is the way for me to grow wealth. That is true. Investing is a great way to build long-term wealth, but a prerequisite to building long-term wealth is that you're able to do so because you have a good financial plan in place, inshallah. And inshallah, the money that you have is filled with barakah. And you are thinking about life in a balanced way with multiple goals in mind, not just sitting there watching your investments grow. Because in actual fact, on a day-to-day basis, it's incredibly boring. It's like watching paint dry. It's like watching grass grow. After you've figured out how to invest, there's not much more to it at all. Then the last big part of it is, once we are investing, how do you do it? And that conversation and that knowledge of knowing where to find a Sharia compliant way to open a stocks and shares ISA. One of the big motivations for me to starting this podcast is because I'm quite confident now that there are options available for Muslims to invest easily and in a cost efficient way in a Sharia compliant manner. So that will almost be the very last bit that we touch on for this episode, because the question was, how do we get to the point where we're no longer just saving, but we're investing? And what we want to be doing is that when we're investing, we're doing that with conviction and as part of a broader plan. So how is this episode going to go about it? First, we're going to talk about margin and why a big part of feeling like you can stop saving and investing is because you've given a number to how much your emergency fund is and you're happy with the size of it. Second, it's about your payslip. When we think about investing, it's not an afterthought to what comes after everything else has been taken care of our payslip, but rather it's appreciating that actually earning more money and paying attention to our career is a great way, especially when we're young, to get ourselves on the right track. And then more practically, making sure we are debt-free and then making sure we're making the most of the employer pensions are things to think about. And then lastly, how do you start investing? Do I know where to go when I have a fully funded emergency fund? I've gotten rid of my debt and I'm making the most of my employer pension, and that's also invested in a Sharia compliant way? Yes, absolutely. So without further ado, I'll start with the first section, which is, how do you know that you've saved enough that you can now think about moving on to investing? So when I think about saving versus investing, I like to think about it as every penny having a name, meaning not only is it in the way that we manage our budget, but also in the way that we are managing, alhamdulillah, the money that we already have. So when it comes to saving, the answer is not, oh, an infinite amount of savings is better. Like, the answer is not, the more I have in savings, the better. We have to be able to say, this is enough saving, or this is what I'm going to need. For example, for me, when I started to mull in my head the idea of becoming an entrepreneur, immediately I knew at that point that, hold on a second, when I think about my emergency fund, perhaps 3 to 6 months might not be enough. And it's true for people who are self-employed or people who have variable income. Having an emergency fund that is closer to 9 to 12 months is a level that will make them feel a lot more comfortable in comparison to someone who has a steady paycheck, and even if they did want to change job, they're able to cover their expenses through their emergency fund whilst they're moving between jobs. So that is almost giving a purpose for the emergency fund. So asking yourself that question, do I have enough in savings that will keep me in the market for as long as possible? Am I confident that if I put money into the stock market through a stocks and shares ISA after my payslip, do I feel comfortable knowing that my intention is to use that money in 5 years or more? And what's really interesting is that people who manage big hedge funds, people who manage big portfolios, the thing that keeps them in the game is the cash reserves that they have. And that's the same for us as well as individual investors, individual managers of our incomes and our family's money. So when it comes to then managing your emergency fund, you might think, oh, but if I have 3 to 6 months of cash sitting somewhere for a long time in my life so far. I've always kept it in cash, knowing that yes, it's kind of burning a hole in my pocket, but the benefit of just having that cash to me was more beneficial than worrying about perhaps having a return on it. But there are options out there to make short-term investments, but short-term places where you could deposit your money, get a profit that is Sharia compliant, and still have that serve the purpose of being your emergency fund. So yeah, if the question for you is, I don't feel comfortable keeping that huge amount in cash when I could be investing it, know that the purpose of wanting to invest is so that you're able to do that for as long as possible without any interruptions. And having that cash reserve available to you allows you to stay in the game for longer. So in your mind, how do you start investing when all you've done is save? Is you personally have looked at your emergency fund that you may, or you focus on building that emergency fund for 3 to 6 months if you're someone with a regular paycheck, and say, great, once I have that, I'm closer to the point where I can start investing for the long term. So that was the first point, really giving a name to your emergency fund and really appreciating the purpose of it. The second point is kind of knowing where to start, because the purpose of investing, inshallah, is to get a return on that money over time and being able to grow our wealth so that, you know, we've been good stewards of the money that we've had. We can achieve more, meaning we can reach our goals quicker. We can also look forward to a future where we're able to retire, we're able to provide for our families, etc. Investing is a huge part of that, but it is a return that we're talking about. So if you're losing money somewhere else, if you're not being tax efficient, if you are not making the most of any pension benefits that your employer gives you, you're automatically leaving money on the table that could have earned more returns. And because we're talking about compounding returns over a long period of time, making such considerations quite seriously, you're able to give yourself the opportunity to make bigger returns because you're not leaving otherwise free money or paying more than you ought to by not being tax efficient. Those two sides of the same coin require careful consideration. And what's really helpful is that all of this actually just comes from your payslip. So the second point, in fact, is all about how do we make sure that at the point of our payslip, we're being as tax efficient as possible and we're making the most of the benefits that are available to us. So that's one side of it. Another thing that will come out of our payslip that will be costing us is any debt that we're paying back. So if you are carrying student loans, for example, and your main goal is really to make sure that you're able to get rid of those student loans, you wouldn't be investing in order to pay back those student loans. You should look at the student loans as a cost as well. So any interest that you're paying on those student loans are effectively a cost and eating away at any potential returns that you would otherwise get if you had invested that money. I think it's quite helpful that all of this is really just summarized in our payslip. When we look at it, we want to ask ourselves, are there costs in there, for example, debt that we can pay back? Or is there any pension matching programs there that I can make the most of today so that they work for me throughout my working life? And thirdly, am I being as tax efficient as possible? And that is also related to our pension. The thing that's helped me the most has been having one goal, work towards it, and then move on to the next. So we've talked at first about the first goal being getting an emergency fund, then turning to and looking at your any student loan debt that you have and think, look, I'm not going to be paying this off by paying the minimum through my student loan. That will be a drag on my career earnings throughout my life. I actually look at student loan repayments as a graduate tax, because that's effectively how it works. You'll be paying more the more you earn, because it's set at a particular percentage of your payslip. And so being able to log on to the student finance website, seeing how much your student loans are costing you every month and thinking, how long will it take me to pay these off, can be really hugely transformative. Because even if you look at a goal and it says 10 years, 15 years, 5 years, whatever that goal is, you can then think about, how do I make a plan to work towards it? How much can I throw at the student loan so that it goes away? Because immediately you can think you're giving yourself a 9% bump in any returns that you would be ever getting if you started to invest. So getting yourself to the point where you're debt-free and being conscious of that, if you are debt-free, thinking that you're not going to willfully get into more debt, and think about, how is it that you go about making purchases, for example, avoiding car loans, avoiding saving to pay off your phone, buying your phone up front and in full. This kind of works both ways. It's not just about paying off the debt that you have, it's also in your mind making the commitment that you're not going to very easily just go and acquire more debt in the future, stuff like that. To try to just think about how positive an impact being debt-free has on your finances. I think this extends also in the way that we make the decisions about the mortgage that we take on. It shouldn't be, how much can I borrow? It really is, what do I need to buy and how can I afford it? So the bit about being debt-free is a very significant point. Second is more about what I mentioned regarding your pension. So here, the return that you're getting by thinking hard about, am I being smart regarding my pension, is, am I leaving any money on the table that I could otherwise have? So choosing to forgo some of your salary at the point that you're, before you're paid into your payslip, and say, actually, I would rather that go towards my pension, is a very clever thing to do, because in so doing, you are reducing your taxable allowance, because your taxable pay, the amount that you're actually going to be considered for towards income tax, is going to be less. And this can have huge benefits, especially for those, anybody who's earning just above six figures. The threshold, the tax amount that you're, because you start to lose some of your personal allowance, the effective tax rate between 100,000 to 125,000 is closer to 60%. So anyone who is choosing to think about better sustainable ways to grow your wealth, legal ways to be more tax efficient, and looking at your pension allowance and seeing whether or not you can contribute more and invest in a Sharia compliant way through your pension, is a good way to think about saving for retirement. It will also, I suppose, give you the confidence that you have money set aside for that period, and then work towards your other goals in another way. I always think that is kind of a no-brainer to want to maximize your pension benefits, especially when the return, because it's money that gets invested, because that the it's money that is tax-free, it will take care of a very important goal for you, and you're giving yourself the biggest leg up by choosing to consider that whilst you're in your 20s and 30s, to a point that it will be very hard to do in future decades. When it comes to, for example, saving for a home, I wouldn't do the trade-off of saving for a deposit instead of trying to maximize your pension, because we're not really talking about trying to put all of our money into our pension. It's more so to try to be more tax efficient, because you're not going to see that money anyhow, in the sense that you'll be paying, let's say, upwards of 40%, 45% tax on it. So you're foregoing that amount too. And then what's doubly effective when it comes to your pensions, it's not just the tax that you are being efficient about, but it's also any additional money that you could be getting from your employer through any employer matching contributions to your pension. So making that calculation that way, to say, is this going to reduce my tax burden in a way that it will actually be meaningful? And secondly, what is the matching program at my employer? Even finding out the answer to that question can be hugely beneficial for you in giving you the confidence about knowing that, oh, I'm the money that I then set aside to invest is really there to serve that purpose. It's all towards getting ourselves feeling like we are in the game for as long as possible when it comes to investing, and knowing that we've taken care of our other responsibilities too. For example, trying to reduce, being as tax efficient as possible, trying to being debt free and staying that as well. So immediately you'll be pleased to know that having covered these two points, having a fully funded emergency fund, being debt free, and also appreciating that we can invest even before our paycheck hits our account through our pension, and appreciating that we're getting not only the benefit of reducing our tax, we might also be getting an additional bump back through any contribution our employer makes. Those are two very big considerations when it comes to thinking about, am I ready to invest? At this point, when we think about investing, and this is something that I'm glad that I gave good consideration to, is looking at the investments that we make in ourselves as being different to the types of investments that we're making when we're making investments in the stock market. The idea isn't to pile all of our money into the stock market thinking that is the way that I'm going to make the most. Being well balanced and thinking, look, when it comes to money, there is the money that we give, that we earn, there's the money that we spend, there's the money that we save, there's the money that we invest, and there's the money that we give. Giving better footing for all of them and thinking of them in a balanced way allows you to maximize the returns that matter, not only the ones in this life, but also the impact that we have on others, and also the impact that we'll have when we're not here. Because in the end, you can't take the money with you anyhow. So the idea that you're going about this in a well-balanced manner, I think, can be hugely beneficial. So what do I mean by this? I mean, thinking about your career development, thinking about the efforts that you could be making by making sure that you are negotiating a salary, or taking the skills that you have in one job and marketing yourself to another place and getting a salary raise through there as well. Looking at all of these things in tandem with, oh, I'm also investing money in the long term, will inshallah make you feel like you have a financial plan that is working towards you achieving the goals that you have for your entire life, rather than trying to look at it as a silver bullet towards something. The best way to look at investments is as something that we do consistently as a routine, as part of a well-balanced budget. That kind of is a sensible thing to do over, let's say, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years to meet specific goals, whether it's a deposit towards a home, paying for children's university, and also maximize the goals that we already have and allowing us to do more with what we have, meaning we're able to spend more, we're able to give more too. Investing, of course, will help with that as well. So yeah, in fact, making investing not seem like the silver bullet that it is kind of my goal with this episode, because we can't shy away from the fact that it is true that investing for the long term can have huge benefits to the way that we manage and grow our wealth, but doing so in a way that we don't ignore the very real benefits that we can get by consistently ensuring that we're being paid what we're worth and we're in a career that fulfills us. Also making sure that we feel like we're giving to charity the way that we want to and that we have plans for that. And also what I talked about before, the efforts that we've made towards getting rid of any student debt or maximizing our pension. That's kind of where I wanted to get to before I move on to the third bit of it, which is the actual investing. Now here, I do feel like the part of the knowledge that is financial planning, I hope we've covered. And then the part of the knowledge that is actually quite interesting, which is about how the world of finance works, how do investments works. So we already know that, oh, there is such a thing as a stocks and shares ISA. Why does it exist? It exists so that people are able to invest up to £20,000 a year, and in so doing, they're able to make sure that any gains that they make on their investments, they are not subject to capital gains tax and dividend income tax. Great. What else? Oh, we need to invest. Now, of course, investing, someone could do it for you. What's that called? That's called if you have an active manager and they have a fund. Oh, but if they're actively managing my fund, surely that comes at a cost. Yes, it's true. Actively managed funds are typically more expensive than the low-cost option, which is investing through an index fund. And you're like, okay, great. So what is an index fund? Oh, an index fund is a way to invest in a basket of stocks that allows you to have exposure to the market. And the returns that you will be getting are the returns of the market itself. Oh, but how has the market returned on average in the past? Whilst past performance is not an indicator of future performance, typically the returns of, let's say, the S&P 500 have been 12% year over year over the past, let's say, 50 years. Having this kind of things in your mind, you think, well, you know what? I'm not trying to get like 50% returns, 80% returns on my money. I just want a place where it's sensibly growing year over year. It could be that 1 year it's down, 1 year is up, 1 year is down, 1 year is up. But so long as that over the long term it's trending upwards, we can then be confident in saying, okay, I'm willing to take this risk to leave it in the market for that period of time, knowing that the returns that I'm getting there, I've maximized the other areas of my financial plan. And then the other question that will come into your mind is say, yes, but these basket of funds that you're talking about that give me exposure to the market, are these Sharia compliant? Are they avoiding investing in industries that, you know, I wouldn't be purchasing their products, so I probably shouldn't be owning bits of their company as well, such as breweries, etc. Is that possible? Yes, there are funds available that do track an index of a basket of stocks that has been stripped out of, that only includes Sharia compliant investments. And those, at the moment, I mean, it's fairly limited, I would say, but an example that I've given is the HSBC Global Islamic Equity Index Fund. I've talked about the index that it's tracking and the fees and charges that it has compared to others. Thinking that, oh, that is the investment option that I might go with, or I might choose to go to a robo-advisor like Wahid Invest, knowing that these are the products that are available to you, even if you're in the middle of trying to pay off your student loans, even if you're in the middle of trying to max out your emergency fund, having this knowledge, it's perfectly good. No, you could go as far as saying, well, I'm not at the point of investing consistently, or I'm not going to be doing that in the next 6 months. I might do it in the next 12 months. I at least know that that option is available for me. I know it's out there and I look forward to getting there. I talked about my example about how I started saving up for my emergency fund, I would say. It was like a January of the year that I started to work full time, and I got to the point where I was investing about 11 months later. And I remember thinking, oh, I'm going to wait until then. I'm going to wait until I'm debt-free, until I have a fully funded emergency fund, until I've understood what are the pension benefits I'm getting at work, making sure that they're set so that I'm making the most of the full employer match. I'm going to do all of that before opening my stocks and shares ISA. You could go open one with AJ Bell, Hargreaves Lansdown. Recently found out that Moneybox also offers Sharia-compliant options, or you could go with a robo-advisor such as Wahid Invest. But keeping all of these things in mind, the actual mechanics of how to invest are kind of a separate knowledge to proper financial planning. And when I think about financial planning, it's super important to make sure that we bear in mind all of the things that we can do with money, and the purpose of it being to live, you know, a life that where we're able to achieve our goals. What I really enjoy about personal finance is getting to the point where you're able to take the money question off the table completely and actually give yourself a chance to think hard about questions like, am I better off switching job? And if the answer is yes, you do have an emergency fund that allows you to make that switch. Do I want to take a career break now? How long do I want that to be? Etc. What do I want my retirement to look like? When do I want that retirement to begin? Having good, sound financial planning allows you to be able to make those conversations whilst giving yourself the best option possible. And then when it comes to investing, then you appreciate how actually the way that we invest is a way such that it's there to really complement those goals. We know that, yes, because of the way compounding returns work, you will be able to do more with your money by investing some of it today because you're allowing it to grow for longer. So it's not all about the amount, it's about the actual action. And you start to value having 100, then 200, 300, 400 pounds in your account, in your investing account today, knowing that because you're building up the habit, knowing that you'll be doing it for the long run, you can appreciate the value of it in its totality today. We're going to be looking at it as a tool rather than this big unknown thing that once you clarify, everything will be fine. The exciting part about financial planning is that you're actually able to ask yourself the tough questions and actually ask yourself, are you living a life that's aligned to your values? Are you spending, saving, investing, giving your money in such a way that you're living the life that you aspire to lead? I hope this was a helpful episode. I really enjoyed it. I was looking forward to getting the chance to answer this question. I hope this has been helpful. You've been listening to the Nisa Invest Tea Talk podcast. I will see you next Jumma. Bye for now.